Our lessons today address the dangers of wealth. To modern American ears, this sounds strange. The dangers of wealth? We are more used to the assumption that wealth has its privileges and advantages. You can't be too rich, or that our very net worth could be counted in dollars. But the prophet Amos implies that wealth tends to make people complacent and overconfident, and most dangerously, unfeeling towards the less wealthy. And the gospel story, which was told and written down 700 years after Amos, concerns a rich man who was unfeeling to the plight of the poor outside the gates. The point of Luke's story is clear. We are held accountable, we could even say judged, not only for how we feel about the poor, but how we treat the poor in this world. We might say, for our own spiritual well-being, we need to be conscious of the suffering of other people. John C. Hoey, who worked with the business community in North Carolina, wrote a book called The Holy Use of Money. And he addressed this story of Lazarus and the rich man. He wrote that the rich man finally does realize the importance of paying attention to the poor, but it's too late. There was too big a chasm, and that word chasm is in the very gospel, between them. The rich man was deprived of what could have saved him. Hoey calls it the sacrament of the poor man's touch. The sacrament of the poor man's touch. How can we benefit from the sacrament of the poor man's touch? My friend Joy told me that there's a church in Atlanta, Georgia, that offers the opportunity each week to wash the feet of homeless people. That might change a person, both the one who washed and the one who was washed. The sacrament of the poor man's touch. Here, we have Laundry Love, the food bank, 122, and Browse and Buy on our own campus. Some of you know that one of my personal heroes is Dr. Paul Farmer, whose story is told in Tracy Kidder's book, Mountains Beyond Mountains. Is there anyone here who's read this book? Okay, well, I love this book, and I've read it several times, and it's more than the story of the young American Paul Farmer, who takes on the work of changing the lives of thousands of people in one of the poorest countries on earth, Haiti. It's a spiritual experience, I think, and so I'm going to delve into that some today, tell you about it. I wish I could communicate it to you, and maybe we'll read it next summer as a group. I would love to do that with some people. I think perhaps reading that book is a little like the sacrament of the poor man's touch. It helps us to be less ignorant and less unfeeling towards people who live so close to our own rich country. We are a very rich country, and 95% of the people in our country are rich by world standards. So let's look at the story of Lazarus through the lens of Paul Farmer's work. Paul Farmer was raised in a trailer in the South, one of six children, born to an eccentric Roman Catholic family. He noticed in reading the Gospels that Luke emphasized God's preference for the poor. And his whole ministry, he remembers that, God's preference for the poor. He was smart enough to get a scholarship to Duke University and Harvard Medical School, and became interested in bringing medical help to Haiti, the poorest nation in the West, where people regularly die of tuberculosis, AIDS, parasites, malnutrition, and contaminated water. Paul might not seem rich in the United States, but he was rich in ability to bridge that chasm. He was more than a medical doctor. He studied anthropology and understood that health requires clean water, decent houses, education, and strong community support. The story is how he created a large public health and medical system called Partners in Health that sends thousands of children to school every year, that employs nearly 3,000 Haitians, that feeds many thousands of people each day, and has built hundreds of houses for the poorest patients, and has cleaned up water supplies in dozens of locales. The water system now directly serves more than 1 million impoverished Haitians, about 1/7 of the country. Every variety of human illness is treated in the various facilities. All the care is first rate, and all of it is free to the patients. All but a handful of the staff are Haitian. Partners in Health finally did attract the attention of very wealthy people in America like Bill Gates, and it's now extended to other poor countries, including Peru, Mexico, Russia, Lesotho, Rwanda, Malawi, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. Well, we can't all be Paul Farmer. That would not work. So you may ask, who pays for all this? Well, he was at times unconventional, to say the least. His first microscope in Haiti, in a Haitian hospital, was actually taken, it was stolen, from the Harvard Medical School. To justify himself, we're just helping Harvard not go to hell. The combination of Harvard and Haiti had begun to form a new kind of belief in Farmer. He told Tracy Kidder, the fact that any sort of religious faith is so disdained at Harvard and so important to the poor, not just in Haiti, but elsewhere too, made me ever more convinced that faith must be something good. Farmer's absolutely legitimate funding began with the Episcopal Diocese of Upper South Carolina, which was already supporting a Haitian Anglican priest named Père Lafontaine in the Central Plateau. One of his other early supporters was a rich man, a 60-year-old rich man who owned a heavy construction firm in Boston. His name is Tom White, and he was also a Roman Catholic. Tom White is the rich man who does see Lazarus at the gate. Tom White is the rich man without whom Paul Farmer couldn't have done what he did. One of the wonderful aspects of Tracy Kidder's account is the conversation among the characters, who are real people, about sin, guilt, morality, and hypocrisy. He tells about Tom White's first visit to Haiti. Certainly, Haiti upset Tom White. He found the road to Conge, which is the road west to where Paul Farmer's medical center was, especially offensive, very bumpy road. He said, this would be so damn easy to fix. He remembered his first visit with malnourished children. There was a child with red hair and a bloated belly, and he said right away, put a feeding program in here. For Christ's sake, I will pay for it. I will give the money. When Farmer was back in Boston at Harvard Medical School doing his internship at the Brigham Hospital, Tom White would drive with him, drive over at lunchtime and buy sandwiches in the restaurant for both of them inside the hospital. He and Farmer would eat them in his car. And one day, White asked Farmer, who looked pale as usual, you eating enough? I'm fine, said Farmer. Need any money? No, said Farmer. Well, maybe $40. White happened to have a wad of $100 bills in his pocket, so he tossed one into Farmer's lap. You look hungry to me. Saying this, he felt impelled to reach in his pocket again, and he tossed another $100 bill to Farmer. Please, for God's sake, eat. He said this to emphasize the point. He gave him another $100. Farmer looked down at the loot. Now I can tell you what happened last night. He'd gone to the home of an AIDS patient whom he'd treated at the Brigham, and found that the man was about to be evicted. I signed my paycheck over to him. White said, "Geez, Paul, don't you think that's kind of impractical?" Farmer said, "Well, God sent you to me today." One time when they were together in Boston, White said, "You know, Paul, sometimes I'd like to chuck it all and go work as a missionary with you in Haiti." Farmer thought for a while. Then he said, "In your particular case, that would be a sin." Farmer needed White to continue to be rich. He also needed the church in South Carolina to continue to be a church who cared about the poor. The sacrament of the poor man's touch will be different for every person. Maybe you'll work on a Habitat Day. Maybe laundry love. Maybe simply smiling at someone. When our granddaughter was a student in elementary school in North Carolina, the cafeteria worker in her school spoke to her mother one day. Our daughter noticed that the cafeteria woman had several teeth missing in her smile. The woman said to our daughter, "I think you should know that every day your child smiles at me, and that welcome makes my day. I look forward to it every day." Sacrament of the poor man's touch. The Epistle of Timothy says, "As for those who in this present age are rich, tell them not to be overconfident. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, and already to share so that they may make hold of the life that is really life for them." This is how the rich man can become whole. Life that is really life. Perhaps that is what salvation really means. Amen. Amen.